Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, the first of two interviews with Ty Cobb, former special assistant to President Reagan for National Security Affairs. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, James Smack, Fred Locken, and Howard Rosenberg. It's all coming up next on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted, as always, to welcome back to the program Ty Cobb. He's a former special advisor to President Reagan on national security affairs. I want to start with you, and we're going to do a couple of programs with you over the next couple of days. And I'd like to talk to you first about the generals that Donald Trump is appointing. Tell us what you can about each of them.
He ironically said during the campaign that he knows more than the generals, but now for key positions, he's relying on several generals, three immediately, the most important being General Jim Mattis, Marine four-star, who, if confirmed and given a waiver, will become the Secretary of Defense. Another one is...
Well, hang on. Let's just stay with him for a second. Highly respected.
He is.
Despite the nickname Magdog.
Right.
Highly respected. Every military person I've talked to has said, that's a great appointment. Give us a little bit more of a profile of him as you know him.
It's a great appointment as far as that aspect of the Defense Department that deals with current operations in combat. That General Mattis is extremely knowledgeable and has performed so well in particularly in the Middle East. The Defense Department, of course, is an enormous establishment, and the Secretary of Defense has to worry about other matters such as health care, acquisitions of weapon systems like the troubled F-35 strike fighter. And so a big question is going to be, will Mattis be focused only on the combat arena and have a Deputy Secretary of Defense who would administer the department, or will he be the Secretary of Defense for all of these issues?
You know, one of the things, actually one of my favorite interviews of all time that I've ever done was with Bob Gates,
right,
when he was head of the CIA, but obviously a defense secretary. I think he served 8 or 9 presidents in his career, and he and Jim Baker— both came out very strongly in favor of him. And that just gives me great confidence.
It does. It's an unusual appointment. I think the last time we had a general nominated for that position was maybe General Marshall back in the 40s when he served as Secretary of State. But General Mattis has gotten rave reviews. He's highly esteemed by a number of individuals, as you said, Jim Baker and Bob Gates. So I think that's going to be an appointment that will sail through the confirmation, although there certainly will be some protest votes because of him being a general. And he does, as I said, need a waiver because you can't be Secretary of Defense unless you've been retired for 7 years, and he is not.
Also, an interesting point that was raised to me is that for people who are concerned that a general is going to go to war, the reality is the last people who ever want to go to war are generals, correct?
That's quite true. If you look at it, the generals are the ones that are the most cautious in employing our soldiers and Marines and airmen into battle. And so they've generally tended to be less hawkish than those who have not served, like Donald Trump.
All right, let's talk about a couple of the other generals.
Well, Lieutenant General Flynn, 3-star, is a controversial appointment. He's going to be the President Trump's national security advisor. But General Flynn and particularly his son have been very vocal critics of anything to do with the Muslim religion. And General Flynn has expressed a desire to be more forthcoming in taking on what he calls the Islamic fundamentalism challenge to the United States. His son, unfortunately, has made some pretty provocative statements along that same line, as has General Flynn. I think that's an appointment we're going to have to watch carefully. If he stumbles, which he very well might, the president might then choose General Petraeus to replace him. But it most likely, that would be the course of events.
Do you think that knowing the way the political world works, that that might almost be the gambit, is that Donald Trump has said so many provocative things about Muslims and continues to now with the recent attack in Germany, that to put up a general like this, almost knowing that he would fail, almost a John Tower-like
I think that probably ascribes a little too much forethought to the appointment. I don't think General Mr. President Trump is planning on General Flynn failing in that role. But, you know, the National Security Advisor has to adjudicate between very powerful individuals in the cabinet. You see the Secretary and Secretary of State, which are not always on the same wavelength. Certainly, during the Reagan administration, Cap Weinberger at Defense and George Shultz at State were constantly at odds on the major issues. And whoever was my boss, the National Security Advisor, would be Colin Powell or Bud McFarlane, John Poindexter, whomever, always had a difficult time balancing between them. And then, of course, you have a Secretary of Treasury, Commerce, and now another General Kelly, and will be in charge of Homeland Security.
Can you tell us about General Kelly?
Well, we know that he's been less well-known, more behind the scenes, extensive experience in the war zones, and understands quite well the challenges that are represented by various terrorist entities. He'll now be taking over a department which has a much broader range of responsibilities throughout the United States, dealing with a number of terrorist threats, not just that emanating from Islamic fundamentalism, but it could be right-wing militant groups, white supremacy groups, those plotting biological terror against the U.S. So it's he appears to be somebody, again, that is well qualified to lead that department.
Do you have a greater fear of domestic terrorism than international terrorism?
At the present time, global terrorism is a much profound threat. Here at home, we have had instances of terrorist attacks, but actually very few compared to the world at large. It's coming, and it's going to be largely, I think, by Islamic radicals who have been fueled by internet propaganda, ISIS-inspired, in fact, their magazine's called Inspire, that will generate individuals to take on this role themselves, such as the policeman did in Turkey. I think you're going to see disgruntled, male, young, unemployed, of the Muslim faith, principally adherents to ISIS, conducting lone wolf terrorist attacks in this country, for sure.
All right, let's take a break. More with Ty Cobb when we come back.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ty Cobb. He's a former special advisor to President Reagan. And I want to ask you about cybersecurity. It seems like this is not only a disaster for what's happening against our country, but a lot of people don't like to think about the fact that while they're doing it to us, we're doing it to them.
The United States is in the unusual position of being the country that is most capable in the ability to conduct cyber intrusion activities abroad. But at the same token, it is also the most vulnerable. We are, if we should choose, for example, to retaliate against what we believe was Russian intrusion into the election campaign, by penetrating the emails of both the Republican and Democratic National Committees and releasing several damaging ones from the DNC, if we choose to retaliate, we have to keep in mind that we are, as a society, very, very vulnerable because we are so dependent right now on unsecured internet communications and ability to conduct our daily activities, including just say the management of the power grid.
And that was one of the issues that was raised actually on some newscasts this morning. There's been great concern for a long time about the security of our power grids. And one of the news commentators was talking about, well, what would happen if a major city went out without power for a week? It would be a disaster.
Yeah, we obviously, this is not a secret. The companies such as Nevada Energy are aware of this potential, and Homeland Security, and our probably Caleb Cage, who's the Homeland Security Advisor to the governor, is well aware of various threats to our infrastructure and our businesses by virtue of a serious cyber attack. The worrisome thing, Sam, is in the past, we worried about that attack emanating from a major state actor, be it Iran or Russia or China. Now that capability is in the hands of rogue groups and sometimes individuals that probably can cause enormous damage to sensitive infrastructure, in particular, our electrical grid system.
And I was talking about this the other day with somebody, which is that, you know, in the past we talked about nuclear as mutually assured destruction, but cyber could be exactly the same way that the response, you know, I mean, the New York Times had an article, I believe, on Sunday talking about how if we're going to respond to these perceived threats from the Russians, that we have to do it in a method that lets them know that we have gotten back at them, but did not escalate to where they feel the need to then return fire.
Yeah, you very much, the mutual assured destruction analogy is quite there because while we, again, as I said, have enormous capability, far, far and away the foremost capability to conduct intrusion and destruction of facilities through cyber operations, as we have done in the past, for example, sabotaging the Iranian centrifuges that crippled their production of nuclear fuel.
That was Stuxnet.
Stuxnet, exactly. We remain ourselves extraordinarily vulnerable to, I would say, a sophisticated attack for sure, but perhaps something of even lower capability.
Let me ask you this. We've got about 30 seconds here in the segment. Do you believe, as some people have said, that President-elect Trump is putting too many generals in charge, or are you comfortable with the level?
I think it's a valid concern. Yeah, I really do believe we need to keep a civilian-military divide. Having a general who's only recently retired as the Secretary of Defense, I think, is a step across that line I would rather have not have seen, although with General Mattis being the nominee, you say, well, okay, let's do it this time. But then you have a general, three-star, in as the National Security Advisor, and then you have another four-star general, Kelly, coming in on Homeland Security. Yeah, I think that's a pretty heavy dose of stars in the national security system.
Okay, more with Ty Cobb on our next show. We'll be right back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Howard Rosenberg is here, the UNR Professor of Art and Art Education. We also have Fred Lockham, Professor of Political Science at Documentus Community College, and James Smack, the former Nevada Republican National Committeeman. So, Fred, let's start out looking at what comes next in Nevada, which is the legislative session. I didn't even get a chance to ask the question. He's right in there.
I'm pretty excited. I mean, this is, it's going to be Nevada legislator time now. We've got to look forward to the adventure. We always have problems, and they get bigger every time. So this should be a real treat.
Do you think that this governor is going to be the governor that raised taxes three sessions in a row?
Well, I think it has to be under consideration. The economic forecast came in, and it suggests that they're going to see an increase in the next biennium. That's good news because Nevada hasn't been there for a long time. But they're already in the hole current with the medical expenses. And as we well know, a lot of things are going to be changing under the Trump administration, and they're going to have a real impact, I think, on states. States will get what they've wanted, which is control, but they won't get the money that they want from the federal government, and that's going to create a real dilemma. It's going to put the front lines in their face. But this governor has had an outstanding run with both Democratic and Republican legislative sessions. I think that with the Democratic majority, he has a track record. He'll work really well with them.
James?
I think the governor is going to need to look to be a little bit strategic in this session. There are going to be things that he wants to get accomplished. There's going to be things that the Democrat-controlled legislature want to get accomplished. And somewhere in the middle is where we're going to end up. Will there be tax increases involved in that? Potentially. ESAs has been kind of the political football in all this. Will the ESAs be funded? Some of the nuances I've been hearing out of the Democrats say they don't really want to do it, but they also are open to compromise. So I think we're going to see a lot of that compromise. I think you're going to see the Republican caucus stick together a little bit better this time than they did last session. I think the Republicans honestly just weren't ready to be in control of everything and didn't have any experience doing it. Now that they're back in the minority, and I hate to say that's where they're used to being, but that's kind of is where they're used to being. I think you're going to see them stick together a little bit more and stick with the governor a little bit more on the issues and basically be that backstop to make sure that there aren't veto-proof things coming through that the governor really has no choice but to sign.
But at the same time, it sounds like you're saying that he's going to get things that both sides are going to compromise in the middle and He'll be happy with that.
Well, and that's been something that we've seen before from this governor, too. And in his first legislative session, there was a fairly large compromise around education and extending the sunset taxes and those type of things. I think we're going to see something like that again. We haven't heard the governor say things like, the sunsets are already off the table because they were made permanent, but he hasn't been saying anything about increasing taxes or revenue or anything like that. We haven't heard much about new initiatives, though, either, but education funding always seems to be high on his priority list. That's also high on the priority list for the Democrats who are in control. Somewhere in the middle, there is a compromise that will be made, and that will be what rules the day when we get to the final bell of the legislative session.
How would higher ed seeks more money from the legislature, but we hear more and more about the problems of students with student debt. How do you see this faring at the legislative session? And I'm saying this separate from TMCC, the other community colleges.
For me, it's very simple. We're not talking about Republican. We're not talking about Democrat. We're talking about human beings that are in a situation that they're going to have to get out of one way or another, and we're losing a whole generation of kids who can't afford to do the kinds of things that we want them to do, that they need to be able to do. By the same token, we have to pay for it. How do we do this? Well, we stop worrying about whether we're Republicans or Democrats or whether we're this, that, or the other thing, and we talk about kids. One of the first things I learned on the Board of Regents is when I got elected, I stopped being the constituent man for this particular group of people. I became the constituent man for every student in the system, and that's what we've got to start doing. Look at everyone, not just a few groups of people. Our kids are graduating with a debt now. In college, I am told somewhere around between $40,000 and $60,000. Med school is almost $300,000. How are you going to pay that off? What is it that you're supposed to do?
It's not sustainable.
Well, it's not, and it's a problem that every state is experiencing. But in Nevada, we have to remember first that this upcoming session will have a focus on higher education, much as the last session looked at K-12. We have an issue of governing the community colleges, how that should fit in the picture. We have a budget formula that's not working for the community colleges. Community colleges are supposed to be focused on workforce development, and do we have the funding and the support necessary to help transform the economy of the state? So those will be big issues. But I think the regents, historically and in the current form, have been very sensitive to trying to find more loan money, more grants and scholarships. Every time there is an attempt to try to raise a fee or a cost, there's always some portion of it that's committed to those most in need.
Howard, we've got about 30 seconds left.
To me, it's really very simple. We need to be careful of what we're doing at public school level so that when they come to the university, they don't need to take remedial classes. They need to get into their classes immediately and begin to learn.
And doesn't there have to be a wholesale change in the way that K-12 and the university system works? I mean, I've been hearing this ever since I started doing interview programs back in the early 90s.
Yes, but you see, we're either Republican or Democrat. I want to be a monarchist. I want to be king. I'll fix it tomorrow. That or probably get shot.
And that's where we have to leave it. We'll be right back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
As always, you can watch or listen to Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge from iTunes. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.